Let's go to our live line right now and join one of our longtime regulars, also a supporter and sponsor of America's Workforce. That would be Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Gave you the website before. Here's how you can follow them on Twitter. It's BuildCentralOH. How appropriate that is, because there's so much building going on in Central OH. OH, of course, Ohio. Dorsey Hager, I was reading the story earlier about the poaching going on. This is amazing. And I guess it's kind of expected. When you got so much work, that message is going to travel, and it's going to go to state after state after state. So talk to me about what's going on down there.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Obviously I'm getting lots of correspondence, phone calls, text, emails, not only local news stations, but national news stations, both print media, online media, radio, television, and everybody here in Central Ohio is intel crazy, but they're also, they're seeing a lot of the other work that we discuss a lot on your show that's happening as well. And they're starting to see and understand the need for construction workers, specifically highly skilled construction workers that have came through, union apprenticeship programs to build a lot of these tech centers, to do a lot of these projects and a lot of this work that's in Columbus and Central Ohio. So I got a call from the Columbus Dispatch, and it was ironic. It was after a meeting that I had had with the city and the county about sustainable housing. And the Dispatch, the subject of the article was about construction and about the need for manpower. And then at the very end of the interview, the guy interviewing me said, hey, he says, I have a friend that owns a home building business. And he's saying he's having a hard time meeting demands and deadlines. And he's having a hard time getting his houses done on time, and that he's constantly seeing people come to his sites or approaches people at gas stations, at lunch spots, and a lot of his people are leaving and joining the unions and, taking on more lucrative jobs. And I said, well, what does he say about that? And he goes, well, obviously he doesn't have the pay and benefit package to be able to compete, so it's making it hard to keep his employees. And I said, yeah, I said, that's ironic you say that, because I just left a meeting with the city and the county. And obviously we need to build a lot of homes. We need to build a lot of condominiums. We need to build a lot more apartment buildings, because this Central Ohio area is just having a huge explosion of population and people. And a lot of them are going to be in the skilled trades as more and more people locate here and move here. And, some transfer into our local unions and help us take on all this workload that's going to be here, not just for now, but probably for the next 25 years. And that's where the article, went off the theme that we were talking about, went right to poaching. But, with the plumbers and pipe fitters and the huge amount of not only local and regional, but also organizers from all over the country that are in here helping with their manpower demands. And they're out talking to plumbers, and they're talking to pipe fitters, and they're talking to welders. And then you take the IBEW. I don't have the exact stats right in front of me, but our IBEW local here in Columbus, 683, is one of the fastest growing locals in North America last year. They gained over 500 new members in the last 12 months, and they've got organizers that are out constantly hitting jobs, letting, electricians that are working in the residential market, like commercial market, letting them know about the pay and benefit structures, that they can provide to them if they come over and work for us. And also, with our apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship opportunities, we have a lot of resources to be able to take somebody who's interested in a career in the building trades and provide them with wraparound services to remove any barriers, so that way they can be a valued employee and a valued member. And our apprenticeship programs obviously get them trained and skilled up so that they can get into our programs and help us really tackle this workforce need. But in the meantime, they can make a great living for themselves, great benefit package, so they can retire with dignity and respect and take care of their family while they're working their career. So it's kind of an interesting article. Bill Lafayette, who's a economist here in Columbus, who I'm going to be on a panel with here in a couple weeks, has been talking about the need for more skilled tradespeople for at least 10 to 15 years. So it was pretty good, and it was, not what I expected, but the timeliness, like I said, was pretty funny, because I was just leaving a meeting talking about sustainable housing. And my thing was, when all these folks that are building homes see that they can have more lucrative careers, you know, working at a Facebook or a Google or an Amazon or Ohio State University. I where are we going to get people to build these homes? So it's a problem. Right. It's an issue that we're all dealing with.
Now, Dorsey, you know a lot of those that work in the homes, the trades, they're non-union. So let me throw this at you here. What if you have somebody that's been in the trades, non-union, for maybe 20, 25 years? They realize now, wait a minute, I can make a whole lot more money if I'm working on that Intel facility. How would that transition be? I mean, did they have to maybe work in the apprenticeship program for a little bit? I mean, I'm sure that's going to come up down there.
Yeah, I mean, every local union has their own autonomy, and with their training directors and their training center, they handle it, each their own way. But usually the norm is that so somebody coming over from the non-union, they'll gauge their experience, they'll gauge their education level, maybe some of them, even though they are not union, maybe some of them went to some type of training or apprenticeship training, and they'll get all of that. They'll build their, their resume and everything, and then they'll try to slot them accordingly, not only based on the pay that they're receiving, but also any training that they need. So, we've got people that we've brought over from the non-union that come right in, and they're mechanic members or journey people. There's other people that we've brought in from the non-union that, maybe they get a year or 2 years of credit towards their apprenticeship, and, that lessens the load of schooling and stuff that they need to take, and we bring them right in and get them right to work. But the good thing about our apprenticeship programs, and I think they do a great job of it, if there is somebody who's worked in the non-union sector, they find the gaps in their skill level, address those gaps, get them trained up. So that way, not only are our employers and our customers getting somebody who can perform the work and perform it, in a timely manner, efficiently and under budget and safely, but also the person's getting the training they need. So that way they can, have the maximum earning potential and do well for themselves and their family. So I think it's a win-win, but that's how we're addressing it right now. And, we've talked about our workforce development plan that we developed a little over a year ago, and it's kind of three-pronged. It's increasing our Building Futures program, our apprenticeship readiness, to be able to go after a huge part of the community that maybe never understood that these programs were there, or maybe thought that they couldn't get into the programs, dealing with minorities, women, vets, people who are justice involved. And like we said, removing those barriers so they can get into our apprenticeship programs, get onto that path to the middle class, expanding our apprenticeship programs so they can grow, which all of our local unions are doing. They're taking in more and more apprentices, adding on teachers, increasing training space, so that way we can fill these needs. And then the other one is the organizing aspect. We're going out and we're finding people in the non-union sector and industry who want a better life and want to make more money for themselves. And we're bringing them over and we're giving them that opportunity. So it's working out really well. And I think all of these things, as we work on them, are going to help us really tackle the manpower need that we're having right now. And it's, we're working with everybody. One Columbus, Jobs Ohio, the state of Ohio, city and local officials, because we don't want somebody who's looking at coming to Columbus or even coming to Ohio saying, boy, I don't know if we want to come there. There's Intel, there's Amazon, there's Google. There's going to be a huge crunch for manpower, and they're not going to have the people to build and maintain our facility. We're actually doing what we can to tackle that problem to make sure that we can build and maintain their facilities for them.
It's important to point out what the, for instance, the IBEW, you mentioned how many people have joined the IBEW local over there. And if you'd be so kind, please send me the contact over there. I'd like to get them on the show. I mean, 500 members in 12 months, that's pretty phenomenal growth, pretty phenomenal growth. But what I want to point out, we were talking earlier about non-union. Now, think about the electrician that works in residential. And then you think about what's going to happen at that Intel plant. It ain't the same. It ain't the same.
No.
You need to get the training. You need to get into that local, which would be 683, to get the skills to work in that Intel plant. So I would imagine that's got to be somewhat attractive to some of those folks that worked in residential for so many years. But that just shows the quality of the apprenticeship programs. And I'm sure every apprenticeship program has got to be on fire down there right now, right?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, it's increasing teachers. Some of them are even adding more staff, with their training director, either support staff or adding additional training directors. And it's just the growth is going to be, you know, astronomical. I mean, Ironworkers 172 are doubling their apprenticeship space. IBW 683, who we just talked about, in the next 18 months are looking at doubling their number of apprentices. You know, Plumbers and Pipefitters 189 are constantly increasing class sizes and the frequency of time that they take people in, and everyone else is just following suit. So it's you know, sheet metal workers are another great example, you know, adding training space. So it's a good problem to have. You know, I've said it many times on your show, and somebody asked me this when the Intel announcement first came out. And, you know, I said I'd much rather be looking for 9,000 people than 9,000 jobs, and that's where we're all at right now.
Amen to that, brother. All right. Dorsey's actually in balmy Florida. What's the temperature in Florida where you are today?
Temperature's 85 today. It was 81 yesterday, which yesterday was a little bit of a shock. I don't know how it is in Cleveland right now, but I'm sure it's similar to Columbus with the lovely weather that we're having. But I left Columbus, went from 18 to 81 yesterday, so it was pretty nice. But we're down here. It's not just all, you know, suntan, lotion, and beach sitting. We're doing the work of the people. So we're in conferences, we're in meetings, and we're talking about some of the same issues that are in Columbus that are all over the country, you know, expanding apprenticeship readiness programs and apprenticeship and, you know, getting people and growing our ranks and taking care of the manpower issues. So it's a good conference. It's something that happens annual, and obviously this is a great location to have that.
Again, we're talking about the North American Building Trades and the Leadership Conference, and it's in Fort Lauderdale, is that right?
Yes, Fort Lauderdale, yes.
Okay, nice night. By the way, it's 14 for the high today. Okay.
Two touchdowns, 14, that's not good.
There you go. Hey, let me ask you, you know, NABTU came out with this diversity study. You might have seen that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
They were showing the difference, especially for women and blacks when it comes to union versus non-union. It's amazing. Just amazing difference.
And I think that we're starting to see that more here with our customers and end users in Columbus and Central Ohio. And, you know, we do a great job keeping accurate statistics of everything that we're doing. And the Building Futures Program is a perfect example. And we just had another presentation to an end user, you know, last week, and the updated stats are 92% of our students from the program graduate. 89% of those graduates are placed in a trade program where the average starting salary is about $54,000 a year. 36% of our students are justice involved, which means they've had some issues in their past. And we try to help, you know, mitigate those issues to make them employable and help them deal with those issues moving forward. And then 20%, of our graduates and our placements are female, which is six times the national average in the construction trades, which is about 3%. So we're really proud of those numbers. Those are the things that we speak about and we talk about, like I said, to customers and end users. And I think those really help us attract a large base of people who are wanting to come and build here and grow and expand in Columbus and Central Ohio.
Well, Dorsey, I always say it's good to see the needle moving in the right direction, and obviously it's working for you, so it's good to hear. Let's turn the page here. I know you want to talk about this CBA committee. What's the story there, Dorsey?
Yeah, so about a year and a half ago, Council President Shannon Harden and then Rob Dorns, who's on council, who actually got some good news this week. One, he was elected by his peers as president pro tem, so he's second in leadership at city council. But two, you know, petitions are due for this year's election, and all seven council members are up for reelection. And Rob has nobody running against him, so he'll be running unopposed this year, which means we'll be able to help him, and he'll be able to help spread the wealth and help get the team and the slate across the table. But Rob has done so much at city council to help labor. They've expanded and intensified fair contracting, which has helped make sure that contractors, you know, are providing good pay and benefits when receiving city contracts. They're also increasing apprenticeship training, which, you know, helps get everybody skilled up so they can make more money. The other thing that he's done is he passed a wage theft ordinance, which this week had a national press conference where they worked with the Department of Labor, and they signed a memorandum of understanding, which gives our wage theft committee here in Columbus and Central Ohio more teeth and more enforcement as they go after some of these contractors who are accused of convicted of wage theft, of stealing wages from their employees. Misclassification of workers, not only in Columbus and Central Ohio, is rampant everywhere. And the state of Ohio in Policy Matters estimates that about 213,000 workers per year are paid less than what they're owed. So, you know, wage theft is very rampant, and we're going to try to do what we can. And then the last thing, or the most current thing that Rob has done, and again, this is working with Council President Hardin, Rob's legislative aide, Kevin McCann, and then Shannon's chief of staff, Mike Brown, who's a tremendous supporter of labor and organized labor, is we've established a community benefits agreement committee, which has James Bond from the Director of Finance, Rob Dorns, who's on council, Emerald Hernandez, who's Assistant Director of the City of Columbus Department of Development, Jeff Hunley, who's our business agent for the sheet metal workers, Jason Jenkins, who's Head of Diversity and Inclusion for the City of Columbus, John Lacey, who comes from the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, John Mandel, who's the chairman of the NECA chapter here in Columbus, Barry Pickett, who's Mayor Ginther's labor liaison, then our good friend President Nana Watson of the NAACP. But they're going to work together, and they're going to meet, and they're going to go through projects that the city is building, and they're going to establish guidelines and make recommendations to both council and administration for the utilization of community benefit agreements, which are, you know, as you know, project labor agreements that not only guarantee that a job's done on time and done safely and under budget, but it also guarantees that everybody working on that job is making the area standard benefits, pay, pension, annuity. And there's also an emphasis on local hiring, diversity and inclusion when it comes to females, people of color, and women. So this is a great thing. Rob and Shannon busted their butt on this and did a great job getting this established. And I want to thank everybody and show my appreciation for everybody who's volunteered to sit on this committee, because I think it's going to be a great thing, and it's really going to help not only the city of Columbus and the community, but I think it's also going to help the labor movement here in Columbus as well.
So CBA has a dual meeting. You have a collective bargaining agreement and also community benefit agreements, right?
So the community benefit agreements is the primary goal, but, you know, not just looking at jobs to use these community benefit agreements on. With James Bond on there, the Director of Finance, they're also going to have, you know, the database of all the projects, large and small, that are coming out. So if there's projects that aren't using a community benefit agreement on them, we can get that information to our small and emerging contractors, you know, which we have a database of MBE, Edge, and SBE contractors as well. And we can get those smaller projects to them and get them in the game, so that way they can grow and expand and increase their market share and hopefully employees by utilizing this committee and going after those projects as well. So it's a twofold thing, but I think it's going to be great to help increase union construction in the city of Columbus, which then in turn, and I think a lot of members of the community are seeing this as well, is going to increase, you know, the wages and benefits for everybody, including some of the hardest hit areas of the city where we have a high, you know, minority population. For example, I looked this up the other day, a person of color, female, so a black woman in the city of Columbus, who's not working through a union, her average wages and salary is right around $14,000 a year.
Oh,
$14,000 a year. So you think of the work that we're doing through apprenticeship readiness, the work that we're doing with the mayor and also council to put some of these guardrails in place. I think it's really going to help the minority community, and it's going to get everybody a bite at the apple and give them that shot, you know, to get on that path to the middle class.
$14,000. You're talking like, you know, federal minimum wage there. I mean, that's how bad
it
is. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Oh,
you think about, you know, taking care of yourself, taking care of a family, also having some disposable income to be able to have some time to yourself. It makes it very difficult. Makes it very difficult, you know. And then, like I said, you know, you factor in the average starting salary of our people that are graduating from our apprenticeship readiness programs, and that puts them squarely in the middle class and takes care of a lot of the pitfalls that happen, you know, with poverty. It gives them health insurance and gives them that security blanket so they can take care of themselves and their family.
And it also increases the tax base, too, because they're going to be supporting all the police and fire, you name it, from there. Yeah, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
Makes
right.
A whole lot of sense. All right, buddy, I'm going to let you go, but I got one more question for you, since it's going to happen next Sunday. Who are you picking for the Super Bowl?
Here we go, the big one.
Who are you picking for the Super Bowl? Come on, Eagles or Chiefs?
So before everybody listens to my pick and runs out and lays money down, let them all be aware that I was 0-for-2 last weekend. I took both road teams last weekend, so, and they both lost. But with that being said, I like the Chiefs. I really do. I think they're a great team. I think Andy Reid's a great coach. I still don't think that Patrick Mahomes is 100%. I think they got a lot of injuries throughout the wide receivers, and they're not as deep as they've been in the past. I think the Eagles, this is their year. I think Sirianni's got them rolling. I think they're all having career years. I like the Eagles, so I think the Eagles are going to win this game. I think it's going to be close, 4 or 5 points. I think it's going to be a low-scoring defensive game, but I like the Eagles, so we'll see how it goes.
We'll see what happens. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary-Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You enjoy that warm weather, because when you come back, you're going to get a culture shock over in Central Ohio. So you take
exactly.
care. Have a safe trip home, okay?
I will, and I'll try to bring some of this warm weather back. Just let me have about 4 to 6 months for delivery time, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Flash. Have a great week.
You got it.